This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'm delighted to welcome our first guest, Alison Fuller. Thank you very much for joining us, Ali.
Hello, thank you.
And so I just thought, obviously, we're going to be talking about menopause with you. We're going to be focusing on that primarily, but perhaps you could just sort of give our listeners a little bit of an outline as to sort of what you do generally, because it's all related, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a therapist. I do reflexology, hypnotherapy, and I also do an abdominal massage. And I basically specialise in treating women for various hormonal issues and health issues, right the way from puberty and kind of onset of puberty and any problems then, all the way through fertility problems, pregnancy discomforts, miscarriage, and then into sort of the end, if you like, of the hormonal period, which is menopause.
And is that quite a new sort of area for you, the menopause?
Not really too new. It's something that I've been struggling with the last few years, so I feel I can speak very much from a personal perspective, as well as I've been treating clients for quite some considerable time. But I think probably as I've aged, perhaps my client bank has a little as well.
Yeah.
Or maybe just things are changing a bit, and perhaps I'm just attracting more people now to deal with those type of issues.
I think we're talking about it more these days, aren't
yeah,
we, than we
maybe
ever
we're
used
more
to.
Open. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Ivana's favourite topic.
And I've been going through it for several years as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I just kind of feel sometimes that maybe there's a lot of women that suffer in silence. It's almost like we don't want to say how we really feel. Maybe people in the workplace might not understand it. Pull yourself together, just get on with it. But actually, for some people, it can be quite a traumatic experience, can't it? And it goes on for years.
Yeah, I think so. I think that originally it was quite taboo. We just didn't talk about it at all. And it was considered very much something that was a bad thing for women to go through rather than a natural thing. And maybe now everything's beginning to change and perhaps we're beginning to embrace it a little bit more. We're certainly seeking a great deal of more help. And I think, you know, we often talk about the internet opening things up for us. So I think there's a lot of information on the internet now. There's a lot of perhaps alternatives to the medical profession. There's more information about the medical profession. And I think also as well, something like HRT had a very bad press originally. That's all changed as well. There are many HRT products. So I think there's a lot more variety for women because not one necessarily treats all very well. Women have very different experiences.
Sure. I mean, I didn't realise there was an HRT patch that you could wear as well. I thought it was just something you'd take orally, but actually. So what are the different ways you could take
actually, sometimes it can be in the form of cream. Most often or not, the ladies that I see are all using patches. So that seems now, I think just because they're so convenient, they're easy to carry with you if you go away, they're easy to administer. Cream is quite fiddly and quite messy and it's quite difficult to get the dose right and you have to move it around different parts, different sites of the body. So it depends what we're talking about using it for, because there's also an internal hormonal cream as well, form of HRT, that's a little bit different. But the regular kind of HRT tends to come more in patch form, as far as I can tell.
So now I can visualise all these women on the beach all wearing patches, and then people go, she's in my club, she's in my club, in my club.
I'm thinking arm, like a sort
of... It's usually put on the buttocks.
Oh, is it?
Just because it's an easy site.
Yeah,
You can also alternate. You tend to have two patches a week. I think one patch lasts about 3 or 4 days.
Right.
So, and then you can just alternate really easily.
Yeah.
Without
from
thinking
buttock to buttock? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that seems to be the most common site, but you can use other sites on the body, yeah.
And so obviously one size doesn't fit all. I know you've got other types of treatment that you would recommend for various symptoms. So in what case would you say HRT, and in what sort of case would you say reflexology, or is it not that simple?
Well, I can't really talk too much in too much detail about HRT because I'm not medical, so it would be inappropriate for me to say when is the right time to prescribe that. But I just think that it's important for women to be open to the possibility of taking HRT. I know from my background of being a natural therapist, a holistic therapist, I felt pretty anti-HRT originally, having spent pretty much 4 years of quite strong symptoms or symptoms building up over that length of time, and having, we have no idea how long they'll last. I would now say I'm extremely open to it. I'm not taking it at the moment, but it's certainly something I'd consider, because you can imagine on a day like this having anything up to one hot flush every 20 minutes where you literally drip, your paperwork would stick to you. You know, if you're in a physical job, it's very difficult. If you're in an office, you know, it's very, very hard, perhaps. If you're presenting, you know, those sorts of things can be very embarrassing.
Even
if we do laugh about it, it's still quite embarrassing, you know. So if perhaps you can take something that helps you with that, helps you cope with the debilitating side of some of the symptoms, that's certainly something that you'd want to consider. Obviously, from my perspective, I'm looking at treating women with hypnotherapy. That would come into play more for anxiety-related problems, maybe insomnia, just generally coping with all the changes that are going on. A lot of women feel very out of control. They're quite surprised at how everything is changing for them. Their life at that time is really beginning to change, and they often feel they're falling apart a bit. I think one of the key things to remember, it is only a phase. Unfortunately, we don't know how long that phase lasts, and you go in and out of different kind of cycles in that phase, but it will pass at some point, and eventually it will completely pass, which is effectively when you are in menopause and for X number of years after.
I mean, in terms of the stages in menopause, there's three. Can you just talk us through the three main stages?
Yeah, it's really complicated, actually. There's sort of two stroke three. The first one really is perimenopause. And again, for ladies, that can last years. Mine, I'd cite at 3 to 4 years. But I know from recording my hormonal health, so my cycles monthly, actually, during your 40s, maybe even in your late 30s, you start to notice differences with your cycle. They're just not major differences. They're not really bothering you, but you start to notice some fluctuation. And then I think perimenopausal for most women will last a period of time, but that can be several years, certainly, for sure. Once you have gone 12 full cycles or effectively 12 months of no cycle with no break in that, so it has to be 12 consecutive months of no bleed, you are effectively then in menopause. But I read a lovely statistic today that said that you can have symptoms up to 12 years after. Now, I think that's extremely exceptional, but they were saying that women have reported that length of time. I think normally you're looking at a few years after, and again, it just depends, you know, on the individual, the well-being, the health, and what sort of things perhaps you put in place to manage all the way through. So you've got two key stages, but you've got this period in the middle. You never know when you're actually going to enter into that 12 months, and it can start, and you might go 3 months without a cycle, which would be fairly typical, and then you might bleed again for 3 months, maybe another 6 months. I've also had women who do bleed after that 12 months, but that is a complete exception in that they have a bleed, they're quite surprised, and then for several years after, nothing happens at all. So just because you go 12 months doesn't mean something won't happen, but I think the body just is readjusting.
Is it, again, I've heard this, I'm not sure if it's a myth, but I was told that you can't, there's no test you can do to determine how far through the menopause you are, but once you're out the other side, there is a test you can do that shows that's it. Or is that not true?
I'm not entirely sure about that. I mean, there's a blood test that they do that tends to suggest that you're perimenopausal, and that's really just hormonal fluctuation. Once you've gone all the way through it, again, they're just really going to do a blood test to test your estrogen levels, I would have thought. I'm not exactly sure what they would. Whenever you speak to them medically, they'll always tell you that they're not conclusive. Right. And I know when my symptoms started, periods, I remember having a blood test and they kind of said, well, nothing's really showing. And yet I remember the doctor saying to me, you clearly are having some symptoms and some changes. And he actually felt that you're better to lead that yourself if you are experiencing changes. And nothing showing up in your bloods that's untoward, then chances are, if you're in that age group, you are moving towards it. I have had other people say that, yep, I've had the blood test says I am definitely in it, but actually they're only really noticing a few cycle irregularities, and they're not kind of right in the latter stages of perimenopause where most of the discomforts are. So it's kind of hard to tell. I don't think there's anything really, really that's clear-cut yet.
No, and different for everybody. Mm. And typically then, you know, the sort of symptoms you talk about, the hot flushes and the anxiety, is that when you are in menopause, or could that be perimenopausal, or is it different for everybody?
Usually perimenopause, but still with things like hot flushes post-menopause or in menopause, and then as you're going through the other side, which is post-menopause. But a lot of women don't really talk about post-menopause. They just talk about either being in it or not in it.
Right.
But effectively, the run-up is, you don't know how long it's going to be. I think you tend to feel your perimenopausal for the longest period. Once the bleed seems to have ceased, you hopefully start really to stop thinking about it, you'll stop monitoring it. You may still experience some hot flushes.
Okay.
Not many women talk about too many crazy symptoms once they've gone through that stage, and therefore once they're postmenopausal.
So people that are coming to see you for treatment, are they mostly sort of perimenopausal then, would you say?
Mostly perimenopausal, Yeah. I do have some ladies who they finish their bleed, they're maybe 2-3 years, they still have some hot flushes, some symptoms, but they're coming for treatment for the other benefits and not specifically about that, because things have calmed. And I think the gaps between maybe some of the problems, perhaps the intensity, that's a way to put it, the intensity of the problems or the symptoms has shifted, and therefore, although I will still be treating them from a hormonal perspective, they're really not struggling as much as those who are perimenopausal.
Okay.
From a psychological point of view, what are their struggles in relation to that? Is it a bit like a midlife crisis for a man almost?
Yeah, I think a lot of women talk about anxiety, particularly when they haven't struggled with anxiety before. So they will typically say, there's nothing for me to be particularly stressed about. I'm not usually an anxious person, but I feel absolutely, you know, extremely anxious, and I'm struggling then to deal with, say, work or relationships or just socialising, you know, the things that you want to do that are nice in life.
And I was just saying, Alison, that actually it's quite nice when you're doing something with women of a certain age, because when you forget a word or you forget what you're supposed to be doing, everyone's sympathetic towards you. Do you find that, obviously, doing what you do, you can just literally say, oh, sorry, I'm having a senior moment, or I'm having a menopausal moment?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do. I think humour can help. I'd advise women, perhaps in the workplace or certainly amongst friends, to definitely share that, because I think, as we were saying, a lot of people do suffer from problems and haven't necessarily spoken about them. Luckily for me, in my work, when I do have my hot flushes and I do have my moments, I can laugh it off. It's very much part of what I do, and people do know that I'm experiencing, you know, some of these issues as well. So I feel that I can be pretty sympathetic and humorous at the same time. I think a little bit of humour.
I mean, you mentioned the hot flushes.
It's not a bad thing.
Obviously, hot flushes are one of the biggest things, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you think sometimes the sleep is an issue as well? Do you think it's not necessarily that we're not sleeping? Is it more that we're waking up due to a hot flush and not realising that it's the heat that's woken us and then we can't get back to sleep? Or is it something else, do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There was quite a lot of talk about the weather and the heat and how that's affecting us all. But you can imagine adding that in, you know, having your night sweats, your hot flushes, they're the same thing, really. Having those constantly disturb your sleep pattern. certainly is going to break the body's opportunity to rest and restore and revitalise and all the things that we need to do during our sleep. But not only that, I think sometimes you can end up getting up several times a night, be completely drenched. Some people are changing during the night. I know I certainly have a few times. You know, if you're with a partner, that's not necessarily really helpful. It might make you feel very uncomfortable. It might make them very uncomfortable. I have overheard men talk about their menopausal partners at home and just simply explaining that they're freezing while all the windows are open, the fans are on, the covers are being thrown off, but actually we're not always thinking about the other person. Not that you can change the situation, but you know, it does have an impact on your close relationships and perhaps also relationships with children, if you're short-tempered, if you haven't slept very well. So sadly, I think the night sweats are worse than the daytime sweats. You've got an opportunity, you know, I've actually timed all of mine, a sweat in the daytime not even lasts 2 minutes, probably about a minute and a half. So I think if you know that psychologically when you're having one, you can literally wave about a little bit, remove an item of clothing maybe if it's, you know, in cooler weather, get yourself through it. Nighttime is completely different.
It's not always a sweat though, is it? It can just be a feeling of just being very hot and then it's gone.
Yeah, they are different. Yeah. They really do behave differently on the body. You know, if we sweat in this warm weather, we perspire kind of all over. With hot sweats and night sweats, we perspire in specific places and then we literally drip. So it and also our temperature doesn't go up. It feels like it goes up. If you take your temperature, I've done that as well, your temperature actually doesn't increase because you're not unwell. The body is literally just experiencing this flush, this sensation. Yeah. So it's different to normal sweating, which again is a little bit odd.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking earlier about the various treatments, and I know you offer reflexology and hypnotherapy. How would hypnotherapy sort of help in this instance? Because really, this is a physical symptom, isn't it? So whereas hypnotherapy is more...
Hypnotherapy is probably really going to address the anxiety and the changes in mood, the feelings of being out of control, and the psychological and the emotional side. Working, you can use hypnotherapy to help with hot sweats and to try to cool the body. So giving the client, the recipient, a method of trying to cool themselves. However, ultimately, I think the sweats are going to happen. So that's more about putting you in control and having a method of working through that. The reflexology is very much about calming the nervous system. And by calming the nervous system, you help the hormonal system to balance. Now, the hormonal system is naturally going into a different place. It's changing. That's what the body is seeking to do. It's the peaks and the way in which it changes and the intensity in those changes that causes a lot of the symptoms, the physical symptoms. So if we can kind of smooth that journey, we're not trying to stop the journey, and a treatment wouldn't stop it, but we're trying to smooth that transition. And a lot of women report that their flushes do reduce, they sleep better, they're much calmer, they feel they're in a bit more control. It can help the body regulate a little bit longer, perhaps. So again, those the cycles maybe come back for a little while. It allows you to perhaps regain some control, to re-energizes you a little, so that you've got the energy to go through perhaps a period where it's more uncomfortable. So it can work on all sorts of levels, really. And it does depend, of course, where that person is during their perimenopausal period, or whether they're actually coming towards the other side.
So psychological side with the hypnotherapy. So with reflexology, then, how does that work in all of this then? Obviously, because you're using certain points on the feet, aren't you?
Yeah, it's about the nervous system. That's what I was just meaning to explain, that the reflexology, we know, we've got evidence that it actually stimulates the vagus nerve, and that's the nerve that switches us away from anxiety, so away from a highly anxious state and switches us into a calm state. So although it's a physical treatment, it's also working to help mentally as well. But it switches the body into a calmer state, and then the body can help to regulate and rebalance. So it actually really works on all levels, but specifically trying to physically calm the nervous system, if that makes sense. Then there's the other benefits of working the lymphatic system, working the digestive system that equally takes a knock from the cravings that we get. If we're tired, our cravings go up. If our hormones are out of balance, we tend to crave, unfortunately, the not so good things like the caffeine,
sugar,
and the sugar.
Chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chocolate, sorry.
Which, you know, for a short-term fix, every once in a while, you know, we know isn't going to be
so
a big
three times
problem.
A day is not, is
not
a bit of an issue.
Not quite, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Rats. Not going to do that.
But it's just really trying to calm the body so that the body can then not be craving so much. If you feel more balanced, you've got that chance of...
Making a better choice.
Exactly. Yeah. Exercise, we know, really helps well as well. So I think it's really important for ladies to look into exercise if they don't already. Maybe change the type of exercise they do, because some might be revving the body up a bit too much. We tend to think the more calming exercises, swimming, yoga, walking, but also there is research that weight-based exercises are also very good, and perhaps maybe some short intensity training is equally good. I just urge people to look into that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's quite interesting. I hadn't even thought about the exercise angle, but I mean, that's quite a stress buster in itself, isn't it? So if you're feeling anxious, you know, that's a good way
of overcoming it. It's definitely
going
to help get the endorphins going, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Can you tell us about a success story? Something with someone where a client's come to you with various menopausal issues and you've managed to support them?
Yeah, I think, as I touched on before, I do remember a lady who was having a lot of hot flushes. She was probably having... to an hour. Again, that was really affecting her at night time as well. And she came back, I think they halved initially, and then over a period of time, I think she was literally just having kind of one or two when she woke. I don't know if anybody here has noticed, but you tend to get those first ones in the morning and you tend to wake because you're getting a hot flush. So from that point of view, seeing flushes literally reduce is great. Mm. And the anxiety, really, where ladies come back and just say they feel a lot better, they feel much more in control, and they just listen perhaps to a recording, a hypnotherapy recording of mine, and help them at any given time.
Fantastic. Okay, well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our chat with you now, Ali. So it just sort of remains to ask, you know, if anyone wants to get in touch and find out more or possibly come along for treatment, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Probably via the website, really.
And what's that?
It's www.thehormonaltherapist.co.uk.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Alison, for coming onto the show. That was Alison Fuller, who is a hormonal therapist, and best of luck for the future with all of that.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.